Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. When I go to purchase something I need, one of the first things I do is look at the price. I know about how much I'm prepared to spend. And I sometimes think about how long it took me to earn the money that I'm about to exchange for that item. If the thing I'm interested in is more than I want to pay, I don't buy it. I just leave it in the store. I count the cost. And you know, we need to count the cost in spiritual matters too. The scriptures make it clear that every person must come to the realization of their need of a Savior. The gospel message as we have it in the scripture is simple. But accepting it, it is not easy. Unfortunately, many today have embraced what we call an easy believism. That is, people are given the impression that if they just accept Jesus as Savior, all their troubles will be over. They're not informed about His Lordship, that discipleship and cross-bearing are part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so they were just counting on adding Jesus to their life and going on their own way. And then they find out, when they begin to read the Scriptures, that Jesus demands total surrender. So is it any wonder they become disillusioned? Jesus told His disciples in Luke chapter 14 about a man who wanted to build a tower. The first thing he did was to sit down and figure out how much it was going to cost him to build it. Because he didn't want to start it and not be able to finish it. He knew that if that happened, people would mock him because of his poor planning. So he sat down and he carefully figured out what it would take to complete the project. You and I also need to give serious consideration to any project we take on, but especially when we consider the high cost of discipleship. In our text for today, which is Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 27, Jesus instructs His disciples to count the cost of following Him. So I urge you to listen now as I read the Word of God to us from Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 to 27. Then He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in His own glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." This text gives an accounting of the several factors that must be used in determining the high cost of discipleship. The first factor I've called, give up your identity. Every person born into the world has an identity. We identify ourselves by our name, by our parents, or by our nationality or race, and somewhat by our physical features. And you know, most of those things I just listed, we can't change. God decides them for us. And then as we grow into adult life, our identity is established in part by the things we do. I can say a person's name to you. For example, Osama bin Laden. And immediately, your mind probably goes back to the destruction of the World Trade Center towers in New York City on September 11, 2001. So like it or not, our identity is established at least in part by the choices we make. In verse 23, Jesus said, "If you make a conscious decision to follow me, the first factor you must consider is the cost of giving up your identity." His actual words were these, "Let him deny himself." To deny means to deny utterly or to disown completely. Somehow, I think you and I often misunderstand this concept of denying self. It's not primarily about denying ourselves certain things, although it can express itself that way. Following an ascetic lifestyle can be a point of pride, and that belongs to our old identity. Instead, denying self involves forsaking our personal ambitions and our desires in order that we can fulfill the will of God. It means making conscious choices to live for His sake rather than my sake. And you know, that will often involve ridicule and rejection and loss from other people. But there's something important that must happen before we can give up our identity. We first need to own it. Let me illustrate what I mean. Picture in your mind 15-year-old girl, unmarried and expecting a child. She's already decided that an abortion is not an option, and she has made the decision to give the baby up for adoption. But then the question arises, when the baby is born, should she see him or her prior to giving them up for adoption or not? We might think it would be easier to have the baby and leave the hospital without seeing him and avoid the trauma of separation. Well, that may seem easier, but would this young woman have faced the reality of her situation? Let me ask it this way. Did you ever try to give away something you never had? So without seeing the baby, there's a sense of unreality about this situation. Of course, she knows she's carrying the baby in her womb, but there's a difference between that and holding the baby and owning him. Once the young mother holds the baby and owns and loves him for just a short time, then gives him to the adoptive parents, the reality of what has happened hits with full force. Then it's possible to go through the grief process and the separation, anxiety, or whatever sense of loss that mother may experience. My point is this. When it comes to our humanly achieved identity, each of us needs to ask the question, have I owned my identity, or is there still a sense of unreality about who I am and the identity out of which I live? For us to be able to accept our new identity in Jesus Christ, each of us must first define our humanly achieved or fleshly identity and look it squarely in the eye. It's the only way to understand what we must lose in order to live out our true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I want to know the joy and blessing of our new identity as accepted and dearly loved children of God in Christ, then we must lose our fleshly identity. And for some of us, that identity has been in the formation stage for a lifetime, so it won't be easy to surrender it. So I ask you the question, have you owned your identity? Have you understood your identity based on positive, performance-based acceptance? That's about pleasing other people, or perhaps using your wit or your talent or your skills to impress other people. You see, for a disciple of Jesus, that is a part of your past, but you have to own it before you can give it up and receive the identity of Jesus Christ. At Heralds of Hope, we receive letters from former Muslims who've come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And you know what happens to many of them when they do that? Their families disown them. They say, "You are no longer my son or daughter, you are no longer part of this family." And the reality of this separation is sometimes reinforced by threats of death. The oldest son is charged with clearing the family name from disgrace by killing the infidel who has converted to Christ. That's the idea Jesus uses here in our denying self or disowning self. It is a complete rejection of my will, my way, and my wants. Now, I believe what Jesus is driving at with this statement is the importance of our choices. He said, if, and that's a word of condition, if any man will, that's a conscious decision, follow in my way, let him reject what pleases him and choose what pleases me. So we make a conscious choice to disown or renounce self and subjugate all our works and all of our interests and all of our enjoyments for the sake of Christ. That's a message the world doesn't like. That's a message our flesh doesn't like. Our world surrounds us with the idea that we deserve certain things. And yet God's word says what we really deserve is to die because of our sin. The world says, take care of yourself, take it easy. But God's word says, exercise spiritual disciplines. The world says, you better look out for yourself, look out for number one, nobody else will. God says, don't have any other gods before me. So much of what you and I do is based on what we want, what makes us feel good. I know Christian homes that are broken up because husbands and wives focus on their own desires instead of denying themselves and honoring their commitment to love their spouse unconditionally. Teenagers rebel against their parents instead of denying themselves and heeding God's command to honor and obey. And then church members, they leave because they claim they're not getting fed. Instead of denying themselves and recognizing you only get out of the worship service what you put into it. You see, it's this mentality of me that Jesus is saying we must disown completely. If you and I want to be Jesus' disciples, we must understand life is not about us. It's about Him. The only thing that matters is what He wants. Now, I admit, that's painful for me, and I don't like it. And I believe you'll find it to be the same for you. But we really don't have any other option. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, then He said, we must die to self. And He went on to add, it needs to happen daily. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The High Cost of Discipleship. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address, once again, is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The High Cost of Discipleship. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, to request your free copy of this teaching, The High Cost of Discipleship. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study on the high cost of discipleship. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.